Welcome to a new edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have a really, really accomplished lady, Vinita Singh, with us on the show. Vinita, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Vinita has a Master's in Management Studies from Bombay University. She's a Master's in Social Policy from the London School of Economics. She's currently the Managing Trustee and Founder of We the People Abhiyan. She's a board member of International Resources for Fairer Trade, Satark Nagarik Sangathan, and School of Inspired Leadership. That's quite an accomplishment, Vinita. Please tell us a little bit about your early career.
So, actually, I've always, maybe I've not been a good career person. I've always been inspired by some kind of or motivated by a personal mission. Mm-hmm. And very early on in life, when I was just 19 or 20, I was grabbed by this idea that I want to contribute to a certain area, field. I was not very sure what that field was going to be, but I wanted to contribute to an area where opportunities were low for people or they hadn't been able to access them. An area where I felt my contribution could really have an impact that could be much higher than in an area where the contribution may not have that kind of impact. Mm-hmm. So, I had traveled a lot in the country with my father. Mm-hmm. Had been in a number of villages and, rural areas. I had been quite involved in there. Mostly as a tourist, mm-hmm. but somehow I felt that there was this whole thing of opportunities less in rural areas, more in urban areas, mm-hmm. and I wanted to somehow contribute to making that balance a little better.
Okay. So let's talk about We the People. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the first three words of our constitution.
Yes.
And Abhiyan is a movement,
yes.
isn't it?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what this organization does, but even more importantly, what prompted you to found this organization?
So the organization is looking at the citizen as a major agent of change, of growth.
Okay.
In a democracy which we have, we felt that this is the person who's really going to make things happen. You, me, and others.
Correct.
And we understood that the Constitution of India gives us, each one of us, that framework.
Correct.
For making growth possible, change possible. And for me, I love the Constitution. Not because I'm an Indian, of course I love it because I'm Indian and it is my constitution, but also it's an amazing constitution.
Correct.
It is one that absolutely at the core has humanist values, and it believes in the power of the citizen to make his or her life more human, more a better life. And that's what the Constitution is about.
Correct.
So, We the People really is about getting citizens to understand their power and responsibilities better. Mm. So, we work at the cusp of the Constitution and citizenship. Mm. And the idea of We the People really came about me and a few other friends who'd spent a lot of time thinking about these kind of things. And I was prompted to work in the rural areas, worked in rural areas for a very long time on livelihoods and other spaces. But we all felt that while we think that we can create opportunities, some of the people who are with We the People, they have been working in MNREGA in the area around rural employment guarantee scheme. But finally, it is really the capacities you build within people.
Correct.
That can help even for them to work towards those opportunities. Mm. You need to create those capacities. Mm. So all of us felt that, given so many years that we had in this sector, we were well-intentioned, we meant very well. But if we were to have people really taking on their own lives and streams, then we had to work on building capacities.
Okay.
And that is what We the People does.
Okay.
We've really looked at what are the capacities that we need to build within citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be information. They just don't know that they have these rights and responsibilities. These are their roles. But sometimes they also feel a little uninspired, mm-hmm. By the negative stories mm-hmm. around them. And there is a lot mm-hmm. of negativity, mm-hmm. yes.
Sure.
But we felt that we would like to have citizens understand the Constitution, to own the Constitution,
correct.
And practice it.
Wonderful.
So that is really the wonderful. Intent of We the People.
That's wonderful. Which is leads me to the next question. And when I was looking at your vision statement, you say making our lives equal, free, just, and dignified. Very, very powerful four words, equal, free, just, and dignified. A lot of relevance in each of these.
Yes.
What is your perspective?
To me, this is what makes life what it is.
Correct.
Imagine life without these words.
Agreed.
Right? And these are actually words picked from the Constitution, which is saying that, amazingly, this is the core of the human soul, the human being. This is what we strive towards. This is not what it is.
Correct.
Yeah, we are messy people.
Absolutely.
Right? We think we like equality, we want equality, but we ourselves sometimes treat people unequally.
A lot of us say we are more equal than others.
Yes. So we are messy.
Yeah.
But this is the aspiration which calls to all of us.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And this is what we think is the way in which the nation is understood. And so our mission is for citizens to own this, understand that we may not be perfect, but that this is the journey towards a world that is more dignified, more just, and more equal.
Mm.
And if we understand it as a journey, then we will know that along this way, we'll make some mistakes,
sure.
but we'll do some things really well.
Yeah.
And all the while, we'll build our capacities to move towards this. And the constitutional framework, what do you do when something is unjust?
Mm.
What do you do when you are not treated equally? Yeah. Or what do you do when you don't treat people equally? What is it? What is the kind of responsibility you hold towards others?
Correct.
These are the things that the Constitution, if you build capacities in an interesting way mm-hmm. with the Constitution,
yeah.
you can make people think about this.
Correct. So my question to you, Vinita, would be that the Constitution of India needs to be owned by 1.3 billion people.
Mm.
And yet, I'm not sure how many people really understand that there is this incredible document our forefathers gave to us, which embodies a lot of rights for you and me, or for that matter, every citizen.
Yes.
How are you going about communicating that every Indian citizen has the same set of rights?
So, when we started, this was really the gap statement that there is this incredible document. And yet many of us have not really connected with it
yeah.
in the way that we should be. And that gave us really the mission. Even earlier, Babasaheb Ambedkar actually recognized that this could be the way things are because
mm-hmm.
after all, the Constitution is made by 300 people.
Correct.
They came together, they created it. And then, of course, it ran. It
yeah.
takes its own course. But he actually said that, constitutional morality is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be cultivated.
Help me understand constitutional morality.
This is the morality. In the sense, equality, liberty are the constitutional values and morals.
Okay.
It's different from what we might see as morality, correct, which is like honesty and others.
Yeah.
But these values are the core values. Now, this, so we are expected to behave equally and with just, you know, it's just behavior, and to respect each other. Yeah, this is the constitutional morality. But actually, it's not natural. Naturally, we do things which are not to these values, which means that over time, these values need to be talked, discussed, understood that it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be cultivated, which means there's a deliberate action of cultivation. It won't just happen, right? Which means we should have spent 70 years of our republic really at the grassroots building this understanding. And somewhere while our education curriculum has carried this, we have perhaps not done that great a job as we should have. And that's why when we thought of looking at this, we were, you know, looking at livelihoods, education, etc. But we felt that the constitution itself is a cause that we need to take to people. And it is in that area that we felt that if we could, train people, how do you build, how do you cultivate? You have quite a few options, but the two we thought was, A, we really do like a training,
correct,
you know, and we train people on it. We help them understand it. So there is a training program or a capacity building program that we call the Citizenship Empowerment Program.
Correct.
And this is a program that looks at perspectives, knowledge, and skills that are needed for you to operate as a citizen with full power and responsibility. So that program is the program we take to schools, to teachers, students, other civil society organizations, some corporates who are interested in understanding this more. So that's one. The second thing that we do is more around awareness. We do films, we do workshops, we do events, we do talk shows, we do anything that can help people connect,
correct,
with this document.
Correct.
So, you know, you'll see me and many times just taking the constitution copy and sort of, talking to people about it. We have something called Citizen Cafes, which is like an hour and a half, 2 hours, that we only look at the preamble to the constitution and see what it means to you and me.
Wonderful.
So that's the kind of things
that's
we
wonderful.
Do.
Yeah. So my follow-up question to you would be that, you know, a very large number of Indians have started to recognize their rights given to us by our constitution. How many of us understand our responsibilities that come, you know,
with
along with our rights? I have a right to do this,
yeah,
but I also have a responsibility.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I think we have both the situations. We have many, many people who, because of information, asymmetry, don't understand their rights at all. I mean, this is a real case. In many, many villages, we understand that the power situations are such that we've not been able to exercise,
correct,
rights. And then there are many people who understand their rights but have not been able to understand that there is the corollary to every right,
correct,
that we carry responsibility. Yeah. So, frankly, to me, a basic principle of the Constitution, and if you look at, and I say sometimes, don't even look at the entire Constitution, just use it as a reference book, but just stick to the one page, which is the preamble.
Mm.
If you look at that, the way it is written, it absolutely, at its core, talks, you cannot talk of rights without responsibilities.
Correct.
It goes together.
Mm.
So if you look at it, it says, we the people of India, and you know, you constitute India into four, five features of the state. That's one section. But it quickly goes on to say, we the people of India solemnly resolved to secure to all citizens liberty, equality. What does that mean? It means it is really I have to secure to other citizens these values. So you're not only talking about me as securing for myself, but securing to others. It, in its core, carries both these. And if we were to understand just this one page, we will understand that when I am saying that I have these rights, I have to recognize that even if you're saying something totally different, I totally disagree with you, I in fact find what you're saying quite offensive. Yet, I have to recognize that you are doing your constitutional duty and I am doing mine. That is the piece that we've got to get into.
That's very, very well said. So my last question on constitution is about the millennials. How are millennials reacting to all the programs that you are doing with them about the constitution? I mean, is the awareness higher? Do they understand their rights better?
I think it's very, very exciting time, and at times, and it has been very exciting times recently. They're very, very interested in being able, in understanding the constitution. You know, every time I've found that young people say that, you know, it is in our books. Somebody, I don't know who did this, in every book, NCRT, CBSE syllabus, every book, maths, geography, every book, not just social and political life, has the first page as the preamble.
Oh, wow.
I don't know who did it. But that is really, to me, a masterstroke.
It's very empowering.
Exactly. And so, you see, the thing is, they have seen it every day, every book they open, they see it. Wow. Right? Now, teachers don't talk about it. This is their complaint. They say, hame iske samaj achhe se nahi banai gayi hai. Which is a tragedy that we have to all do something about. But the fact is, it's there. They see it every day. And then, when you see something as powerful as saying that this nation stands for these values, right? It plays in the subconscious all the time. And so when they see something which is unjust, unequal, you know, that is what excited me into coming into this. At 19, I thought, you know, there's something not right here. And I was very, very connected with this value of equality. And whenever I would see something which was unequal, I'd say, kuch to karna padega.
That's amazing.
Some people like me went ahead and did what they did, right? But today, a person who's young says, yeah, kuch to karna padega, and finds that, shayad main kuch kar sakta.
Wonderful.
To ek hai, ek jo junoon jo shayad usi samay hota hai, hai na? Aur fir kabhi kabhi mar jata hai, kabhi kabhi kahin aur chala jata hai. Lekin mujhe lagta hai, I feel that the excitement around, or that connection, that just empathy to understand that, you know, this is a base value, it's a human value, and it's being violated. I need to do something about it. I mean, it's very exciting. Young people from many different ideologies. We have groups where leftists, rightists, you know, all these are words, but people who believe, who are from across many different thinking, come together and look at what does it mean to be a human being?
Correct.
And then if something is not going as per the way in which we should be looking at it as human beings, then let's do something about
That's fascinating. So, Vinitha, let me move to another question. I'm going to link it to the constitution and the rights. Yeah. You know, and that is a question on gender balance. Well, our constitution has exactly the same rights for both halves, maybe that's not the politically right thing to say, but for every single citizen in this country, he, she, and they. Why is it that there is such a big difference in the gender balance, whether it's in the corporate world or it's in parliament or it's generally in our lives? What can we do to make a change in this?
So, as I said, the aspiration, these words are you know, they are the words we are moving towards, mm-hmm. equality and liberty. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. The reality is not so.
Correct.
Also, as we are going along, those words get more meaning. Mm-hmm. You know, gender that we did not think about, yeah. you know, in the same way as male and female yeah. are now, you know, we are expanding our understanding of these values of equality and justice. So this is a journey. We've made a lot of progress, and yet we know that we haven't made so much progress mm-hmm. also. So I think to recognize that for a long time, women were not able to find their mm-hmm. voice. Let me give you an example. You know, in the Constituent Assembly, there were about 300 people, 299. How many women do you think there were?
Really, somewhere about 10 or 12?
15. Yeah. Now, 15 women, and if you read their speeches, powerful, mm. right? They were hardly, I mean, what percentage is this? Yeah, very, very less. But they sat there and they made their presence felt. Mm-hmm. This was 1946-47. We finished our constitution 1949.
Yeah.
Many women were not even able to step out of mm-hmm. their homes. But these 15 women sat there and ensured that the constitution at the same time gives voting rights to everybody mm-hmm. because, you know, we had yeah. precedence.
Yeah.
Women had, even in America, not mm. got the same voting rights for many years after their constitution. So that assurance by those 15 women and many others, yeah. of course, yeah. of the Constituent yeah. Assembly, ensured that we had a framework that was available for women.
Mm.
Now, over these years, women have a responsibility to themselves to make sure they are at the table.
Mm.
They come to these places where their voices are heard.
Correct.
Second, in not even at the table out there anywhere, but in your families, mm. we are to make our voices heard. And the other thing that happens with looking at this is that the environment is created for more women to be out mm. there to make their voices mm. heard. So it is a right that we have, but a responsibility of many other people, including companies, mm. including workspaces like ours.
Mm.
We are struggling. Actually, we just have one man in our team and we really have to get that right.
So you need to get your gender balance.
We've got to get that gender balance right. But I think it is, I think more and more women are recognizing this. When you go to a class, in any class in any of the school,
yeah.
50% and more are girls. So we've come a long way, but each one of us has to recognize that we have to be doing much more to be able to ensure that we get that balance right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I just have time for another two or three questions.
Okay.
And these are some personal questions
right.
to you.
Yeah.
My first question to you would be that in your life, mm-hmm. have you had people who have influenced you? And if yes, what have you learned from them?
Right. So, yes, of course. I mean, one of the persons who influenced me very early on was Dr. Srikant, mm-hmm. who is the Dean of SPJ Institute of Management.
Okay.
And I actually worked under him for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a major influence. I was only 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically, you know, gave me the belief to absolutely keep mission alignment.
Mm.
I mean, at that time also, it's very strange. You didn't know this word called mission. I didn't know this word. But I knew that that was the purpose that I wanted to work on. And he said, you know, just stick to it. things will come and go, but just, so don't operate on ego, don't operate on money, operate on whatever you do has to be mission aligned. I'm using that jargon now. I didn't understand it at that time, but I got that from him.
Okay.
There have been other influences, Sushma Sharma, who's been a mentor for me for many years now, again, helping me understand that, you know, things are going to be tough, but
hang in there.
But hang in there. It's, you know, there's lots of things that will take up your mind. And sometimes you feel this, you know, frying of the brain. So many things. But just make sure that you know that this is what you want to do in your life. And then things will come.
Terrific. So my next question, you know, I'm so impressed with the kind of work you are doing and the way you're reaching out to so many people. What would be three adjectives that define you?
So, I'm passionate about what I do, about things I do.
Yeah, that's quite evident from our chat.
Also, I like to spend moments to be full, more, I'm energetic, I'm hopeful. Persistent.
Wonderful. Persistent. Yeah, that's okay. So, Vinita, my last question to you, and this is a question on failure. You know, you work with a lot of young Indians.
Yes.
And I've often said, Indian parents don't teach children that it's okay to fail. Everyone is first ana, sabse aage niklo, and that manifests itself in our behavior patterns, whether it's on the road or in an aircraft or whatever. What have been some of your learnings from some of the mistakes or failures that you have had?
My learnings from failures is that they are going to be there. You know, first let's accept. And you know, when you're young, you really don't think you're going to fail.
Correct.
Yeah. So when I was in this village in Nashik, and you know, I didn't speak Marathi very well. I was a you know, after all, whatever, I may be concerned about what's happening in villages, but I was from Mumbai. I had an urban life, and my team just refused to accept me. You know, I didn't know what to do about it. I think that first my learning is this is going to happen.
Correct.
You know, so accepting that this is part of life, I think, is a very important thing. Second, I think, is that whole thing about mission alignment. If you think that this is what you want to do, then it's a long haul. I know that I'm going to carry on doing this. I don't know what exactly will happen, but I'm going to carry on doing this, I think, till I die.
Wonderful.
This is a long haul. Bahut cheeze aayengi isme aur seekhte jana hai aur karte jana hai. I think wohi seekha hai failure se bhi.
Wonderful. Yeah. So Vinita, thank you very much. This has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and I've learned about the constitution from you. And I wish you lots of success as you take the message all over. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. So lovely to be here with you today.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.